everyone. This is Lou Caravelli, and you're listening to The Divided Kingdom. This is a program of news from a Christian viewpoint, a Christian emphasis, you might say. Well, there's lots of things happening this week. A great deal is happening in Iran, but that's so much covered by the mainstream news, I won't take a lot of time to go into that. Try to get a few things that may have been overshadowed by other events in the news. Here's one from Fox News, July 20th. That would have been Monday of this week, 2026. Rand Paul releases docs, that is documents, that reveal FBI halted border inspection of virus researcher over Wuhan lab links. As you well know, if you've been listening to this program for a while, my late wife Elizabeth and I spent a great deal of time going over matters that had to do with the COVID-19 pandemic, the so-called vaccines, and other related topics. And Senator Rand Paul, Republican of Kentucky, has been spending a lot of time on this, too, over the past several years, trying to get to the bottom of things. This was, on Fox News, July 20th, by Louis Cassiano. Senator Rand Paul, Republican of Kentucky, detailed how Dr. Anthony Fauci allegedly funded gain-of-function research leading up to the global pandemic. Paul claims Fauci coerced intelligence analysts, including the CIA, to alter their initial findings about the COVID-19 lab leak origin. Rand Paul, criticizes the, quote, misdirection conspiracy, unquote, and cover-up that misled the public about the virus. Agents with the U.S. Customs and Border Protection, CBP, were preparing to question a British zoologist and disease ecology expert upon his return to the United States from the World Health Organization's investigation into the origins of COVID-19 before the FBI intervened and asked agents to stand down, according to files released Monday by Senator Paul. And Rand Paul wrote on X, quote, "They told the public a COVID lab leak, quote, wasn't plausible," unquote. And Rand Paul continued, "Their own private messages say otherwise. Today I'm launching the Reading Room where the public can review records related to my ongoing investigation. Not just conclusions, but the actual documents," unquote. The documents show CBP's, that is U.S. Customs and Border Patrol, or Border Protection, National Targeting Center flagged Peter Daszak as a high person of interest, that's in quotes, a high person of interest ahead of his February 5th, 2021 arrival at John F. Kennedy International Airport. Daszak, the former president of Equal Health Alliance, was flagged because of more than 15 years of collaboration with the Wuhan Institute of Virology and his longstanding relationship with his lead researcher, Zheng Xi, as well as his role as principal investigator on National Institutes of Health, NIH grants, funding bat coronavirus research in China. I'm going to skip down because some of the next portion is simply captions on some photographs that you can see if you go to the Fox News website. Much of the funding Daszak received was put to a gain-of-function research, the documents state. The documents highlight that the NIH had asked Daszak to retrieve the original type specimen used by WIV, that is the Wuhan Institute of Virology, for genetic analysis, and return it to the U.S., as well as to explain several aspects of his collaboration with the lab, including providing related cell phone data. CBP officials plan to question Daszak on his activities in China, his contacts with the WIV, and whether he legally collected or carried biological samples. And make that whether he illegally. And if you hear a little noise, looking at grass mode, so I hope that won't be too Internal Communications highlighted concerns regarding DAZAC's involvement in gain-of-function research and potential conflicts of interest involving federal grants. However, 3 days before his arrival in New York City, CBP received a request from the FBI's New York field office to halt the stop, and the inspection never happened. The request states, according to the documents, quote, FBI New York requested we do not stop the subject below, unquote. The records include detailed flight itineraries, proposed interrogation questions, and internal emails documenting the interagency disagreement over the search. Senator Paul wrote in a lengthy thread on X, quote, this isn't the whole story. It's the start of one. The reading will be updated on a rolling basis as the investigation continues, unquote. At the time of the planned interception, DAZAC headed the now-defunct EcoHealth Alliance, an American-based nonprofit that conducted research and outreach on the causes of emerging pandemic diseases, such as those originating in bats. He was a member of the 10-person World Health Organization team that traveled to China to investigate the origins of SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19. DAZAC had received public criticism regarding a potential conflict of interest for being included in the WHO investigative team, despite his financial and professional ties to the Wuhan Institute. DAZAC now heads Nature Health Global, a nonprofit scientific organization focused on ecological research, public health, and pandemic prevention. Fox News Digital has reached out to the FBI and Nature Health Global. Well, that's interesting. This is the ongoing controversy about the origin of COVID-19. Did it come out of a lab? Was it leaked from a lab? Was it deliberately released from a lab? Or was it just a virus that got transmitted from bats to humans in a natural way? We still don't know all the answers, but it does seem as if there was a definite cover-up. That, again, was from Fox News on Monday, July 20th, 2026. Well, what else do we have here? On a little more humorous note, here's something from LightSight News by Jonathan Van Maren, also dated Monday, July 20th. And this you can see in actual video if you go to their website. But I'll just summarize it. The title says, enraged transgender student screams at police for, quote, misgendering him, unquote. A policy body scan video showing a transgender identifying student at the University of Central Florida losing his mind on a campus police officer for misgendering before being arrested and taken away has gone viral on X, accruing over 7 million views in just 2 days. Other influencers have reposted it, with the blue-haired student's tantrum racking up over 20 million views across the platform. The incident, which took place last February, featured 27-year-old blue-haired Jarrett Vick in an altercation with the police after they arrested on campus to investigate, or they arrived on campus to investigate a car theft. When the police arrived, Vick is seen melting down and screaming, quote, why do you let those pigs get away with this? They're not supposed to be here, unquote. It's difficult to tell what he is referring to. An officer asks him to stop shouting. Vick yells back, quote, effing try it. Are you threatening me? You're threatening me, unquote. The officer observes, quote, he is having a breakdown. This triggers Vick into immediate escalation. She, Vick screams. Just say the right pronoun. He refuses to calm down, at which point the police officer pepper sprays him. The police begin to restrain him, prompting more profanity, as well as the repeated screaming of "she, she," as he was arrested and handcuffed. At one point, Vic also asked a nearby university staff member to, quote, "please just tell them to use the right pronouns." As he was being called, he causes, quote, "a lot of distress." The university staffer attempts to intervene in the situation, but walks away in frustration when Vic screams, quote, "get away, F you, cop," unquote. He then tries to both kick the police and take a swing and ends up getting tasered. The footage ends with Vic in the back of a squad car. Vic's arrest was not the first high-profile example of bizarre police interactions over pronouns. In Florida, the police were bewildered by escalating demands that they use they, them pronouns during a traffic stop, with a person in question insisting that the rejection of non-binary, that's in quotes, non-binary identities had caused, quote, generational trauma, unquote. Vic was charged with battery for his attacks on the police officers, also resisting arrest and disorderly conduct. Although he informed the New York Post that he was, quote, expletive, harassed by the cops, unquote. He pleaded not guilty in all three counts. Well, that's an interesting little article. I think it sometimes gets a little confusing with all those pronouns, they, them, she, he, et cetera, et cetera. And I must admit, things were simple in my day. Well, that was from LifeSite News. And the title again, "Watch," meaning watch the video, "enraged transgender student screams at police for misgendering him." And that appeared on Monday, July 20th. Well, I thank you for listening to our program today, The Divided Kingdom. I'm Luke Caverly. And if you'd like to write to me, we have a post office box. Just write to Lou, L-O-U, Caverly, C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, at Post Office Box 28 in Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. That's Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And you'll want to check out our website. I keep saying I'm going to update some of the essays on it, but life has been pretty busy lately. Hope to have a little more spare time in the summer. Since Elizabeth's death, I've been trying to get the house organized. And it just seems like one of those things where you do one job and two more creep up on you. But gradually, things are getting in order. And where was I? Oh, a senior moment. Let me think now. What was I talking about? Well, I was saying you can go to our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. That's DividedKingdomRadio.com. On the website, you can see all the ways to listen to the program. The two main ways are just to go to WWCR.com and hear it directly on their internet broadcast, or you can go to shortwave. Now, Thursday evenings, as many of you know, the program is on at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And if you use shortwave, it's a frequency of 8.480. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little dyslexic here in my old age. That's 4.840. And if you choose to hear the repeat on Saturday morning, you can hear it on 7490 as the frequency. Or again, you can go to the website for WWCR, Worldwide Christian Radio, WWCR.com. They have two or three transmitters, maybe even four. And if you check that program listings, you can figure out which one the program is on. But it's 8 a.m. Eastern Time on Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday. Now, many of you remember, although it's been 30 years, I can hardly believe it's that long ago, 30 years this past week, the TWA Flight 800 crashed shortly after takeoff from New York City. And many of you remember, at the time, it was a lot of speculation on what caused the crash. Well, now the whole thing, particularly because it is the 30th anniversary, is being talked about. Here's an article from the New York Post that was published July 18th, 2026, by Jeffrey Earle. And it says, or the title says, Egyptian terror group claimed responsibility for downing TWA Flight 800 off Long Island in 1996. New FBI records reveal. A terror group from Egypt told the FBI it was responsible for downing TWA Flight 800 and killing all 230 people aboard, according to newly surfaced FBI records, featured in a new documentary marking the 30th anniversary of the tragedy. An explosive claim buried in a trove of newly released Freedom of Information Act documents is reviving decades-old questions about whether a missile or bomb brought down the Boeing 747-100 off Long Island on July 17, 1996. Among the records obtained by the transparency nonprofit Judicial Watch is a New York teletype dated 2 days after the crash. Case file 265A NY259028. The cable states, quote, FBI headquarters received faxes generated from Cairo, Egypt, claiming credit for the destruction of the aircraft. The document does not name the terror group or otherwise provide an assessment by investigators at the time of the veracity of its claim to have brought down the jet. A 14-month FBI and Joint Terrorism Task Force probe, along with a 4-year National Transportation Safety Board investigation, ultimately rejected that theory. But its existence is prompting a series of questions from Judicial Watch, which filed suit in federal court this week against the NTSB to get more information, and whose findings will be featured in a new 45-minute documentary entitled Judicial Watch Investigates TWA 800, 30 Years Later. And that will debut Saturday on YouTube. And the group's chief investigator, that is Judicial Watch's chief investigator, Chris Farrell, has spent years trying to untangle the evidence. He stated, let's see the faxes. Did you, that is the FBI, pursue it? Or the National Transportation Safety Board? To what degree? Was it a fraudster? That is to say, the document in question. Was it legitimate? Unquote. He added, that's pretty alarming, considering there was a massive effort to swat that theory down back in 96, and he's referring to the missile or bomb theory. And he also stated Cairo at that point was a hotbed for all kinds of militant Islamist supremacists, unquote. TWA Flight 800 departed JFK International Airport in New York City at 8:19 p.m., bound for Paris, and it blew up 12 minutes after takeoff over the Atlantic Ocean near East Mauritius, New York. All 18 crew and 212 passengers died instantly. Another partially redacted line states that, quote, one of the crew on board Flight 800, working as a flight attendant, was, and then the word is missing, it's redacted, it's crossed out in the document. The reason for the redaction isn't known, but James Carlstrom, the FBI New York field officer chief, who was placed in charge of the probe, was close friends with a fellow FBI agent whose wife was a member of the crew on the doomed flight. The National Transportation Safety Board determined, after its investigation, that the, quote, probable cause, unquote, of the accident was a, quote, explosion of the center-wing fuel tank, resulting from ignition of the flammable fuel-air mixture in the tank, unquote. The $40 million probe, which included painstakingly reassembling the aircraft from pieces recovered from the seafloor, couldn't determine the source of ignition, but said the, quote, most likely culprit, unquote, was a spark caused by a short circuit. The FBI dropped this probe in 1997, with then-assistant FBI Director Carlstrom telling reporters, quote, following 16 months of unprecedented investigation, we must now report that no evidence has been found, which would indicate that a criminal act was the cause, unquote. But the documentary raises other questions about investigators' conclusions, including why existing 747s were never grounded after the incident, and why no other 747s ever suffered a similar explosion in the succeeding years. Another document obtained through one of the group's 13 Freedom of Information Act requests is a February 1997 internal FBI memo for briefing family members more than 6 months after the event that references the, quote, three most likely theories, unquote, for the cause of the explosion, the bomb theory, the missile theory, and mechanical failure. That document states, quote, despite a wealth of circumstantial evidence indicating that the aircraft was struck by a missile fired from a seaborne platform, the exact cause of the explosion remains a mystery. So there you see, this is a little interjecting. It would seem, as I'm reading this, that the FBI, at least at that point, thought that the missile cause was a very realistic cause of the crash and explosion. And add to that, I remember this very well. This is again, Lou speaking. I remember this very well at the time. The article says, numerous eyewitnesses said they saw streaks of light before the explosion. A CIA video simulation said witnesses were seeing burning, leaking fuel. And it shows an internal document. I won't read all of this, but it shows the document that was dated February 4th, 1997. And it says in the caption below the document, an internal document for a briefing of families of TWA 800 victims references the three potential causes, including the missile theory. And then there are some other documents, at least one other document included. Well, that's interesting. Another great mystery, like so many mysteries over the last 60 or 70 years. As you've heard on this program, although I haven't made it a major part of the program, I've often studied the John F. Kennedy assassination, and to a lesser extent, the assassinations of Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King Jr. And it's a known fact, not a conspiracy theory, but a known fact that the FBI and CIA withheld vital information from the Warren Commission. And to some extent, the 1976, I believe, House committee that reinvestigated the assassination of the three men, Kennedy, both Kennedys and Martin Luther King Jr. Let's see now. I'm going to skip down a little bit. I'm not going to read those documents, but you can see if you go to the website. It says, also featured on the film that will be coming out on YouTube is Dr. Tom Stalkup, a physicist who consulted on multiple lawsuits brought by family members of the passengers killed. He described identifying a piece of the fuselage with a curved end that he said indicated there was an external source of the explosion, and made the alarming claim that it had been bent back during the investigation. And this is a little interjecting. That would seem to mean that the evidence had been tampered with to make it look like the explosion was internal. I'm not sure about that. That's a little confusing, frankly, for me. And it goes on to say numerous family members of the victims settled with the airline and Boeing in the years following the crash, with some taking $2.5 million in compensation. And they do show several of the front pages from the New York Post newspapers of those days. One of them is in top, has the big title across the top, Day of Tears. That was in July of, I have to get the magnifying glass for that one, July of 1996, July 22nd. Interesting, in those days, that paper cost 50 cents. Now it costs $2, at least the last time I took a look at one. Another front page article says, an act of evil, question mark. FBI's terror attack and jet disaster. These were all within the first few weeks after the disaster. And still another one says, it looks like a bomb. And shows a picture of the Boeing 747, or a typical Boeing 747. And at that point, it says, feds believe it was hidden in bags stowed in cargo hold. So at that point, the federal investigation was pointing to the idea of a bomb or possibly a missile. At that last one, it was a bomb. Well, it's interesting. We'll see. I may have to go on YouTube and check that out. Let's see now. I don't see the date, but they're going to have that documentary published on YouTube soon. So that was in the New York Post, published July 18th, 2026. All right, we'll switch gears a little bit. Once again, you're listening to The Divided Kingdom. I'm Lou Caraholy. Now, Mr. Mamdani, it's time to say his name, at least for me. Anyway, the mayor of New York has said he might just arrest Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel. Well, here's something from the Wall Street Journal, July 20th. Trump, pushing back on Mamdani, says Netanyahu will not be arrested if he comes to the U.S. This was by Marianne Levine and James Finelli. Again, July 20th. Dateline, Washington. President Trump said Monday that Benjamin Netanyahu would not be arrested, quote, in any way, shape, or form, unquote, in the U.S. after New York City Mayor Zoran Mamdani said he would explore whether the Israeli prime minister could be taken into custody by local authorities. Netanyahu is, quote, fighting against the Islamic Republic of Iran, which recently killed 52,000 innocent protesters and has spent the last 47 years killing American soldiers and others, Donald Trump wrote on Truth Social. Mamdani said that he was having conversations with the city's legal department about its authority to arrest Netanyahu, but he suggested he wouldn't rewrite any laws. In an interview with the New York Times, Mamdani called Netanyahu a, quote, war criminal, unquote, and said the prime minister, quote, belongs in The Hague, unquote. The International Criminal Court, which is in The Hague, previously issued an arrest warrant for Netanyahu of alleged war crimes in Gaza. Netanyahu is expected to come to New York in September for the United Nations General Assembly. Mamdani, a sharp critic of the Israeli government, vowed during his mayor's campaign that if he were elected, he would arrest Netanyahu should the prime minister come to New York. Mamdani, a democratic socialist, has accused the Israeli government of committing genocide in Gaza. Mamdani's statements have been polarizing for moderate Democrats and some members of the city's Jewish community. And said David Greenfield, a former Democratic city councilman and chief executive of Met Council, an influential Jewish nonprofit, quote, the idea that an executive would try to direct a police agency under their jurisdiction to arrest their political opponents is very much third world behavior. It's not what we do in a democracy, unquote. During an unrelated press conference Monday, the mayor said that his administration would follow local laws in making any determination about the legal authority to arrest Netanyahu. He added that he would seek the arrest of other international leaders who had arrest warrants, including Russian President Vladimir Putin. He said, quote, "My point is that if someone is charged with a warrant by the International Criminal Court for these kinds of crimes, that's something I believe that should be honored," unquote. The office of the Israeli Prime Minister said on social media Sunday that the ICC, that is the International Criminal Court, was a kangaroo court, and the mayor's comments were an attempt to distract from his administration's shortcomings. The office said, quote, "Mr. Mamdani should focus on fixing the damage his policies have caused New York City," unquote. Now, lawyers and legal scholars said Mamdani's authority to order Netanyahu's arrest on an ICC warrant is tenuous at best. The U.S. doesn't recognize the court. Additionally, the 2002 Federal American Servicemen's Protection Act prohibits local law enforcement agencies, such as the New York Police Department, from cooperating with the ICC process, said Brian Ginsburg, a partner at law firm Harris Beach Mercer. And Ginsburg said, quote, "The arrest contemplated by Mayor Mamdani would face significant legal challenges. It may well set up a three-way clash among local power, federal law, and international law." And Mr. Ginsburg previously worked in the New York State Attorney General's office. Trump and Netanyahu have had a sometimes complicated relationship amid the war with Iran. The Wall Street Journal previously reported that the Republican president had grown tired of Netanyahu's arguing for more military action. So we'll see what comes of that. But I don't think Mr. Netanyahu is going to be arrested. That would cause all kinds of uproar. That article was from the Wall Street Journal, updated July 20th, 2026. Okay, big movie's out. The Odyssey. I haven't seen it. I don't know anybody that has, but it's getting good reviews for the most part. Some controversy. Here's another article from the Wall Street Journal entitled, "It's Fine to Fight About the Odyssey. Ancient People Did Too." And the subtitle says, "Arguing about Homer's poem is a tradition almost as old as the poem itself." This is by Donna Zuckerberg, once again from the Wall Street Journal, July 16th, 2026. And it has some good photographs if you go to their website. And Ms. Zuckerberg says, "As a scholar of ancient Greek literature, I've heard a lot of my colleagues worry that our discipline is becoming irrelevant. I wonder if it's a relief to them to see just how much people care about Christopher Nolan's The Odyssey, how angry the internet is capable of getting about every single detail, from the Batman-esque helmets to Tom Holland's Telemachus using the word dad, to the casting of Lupita Nyong'o as Helen of Troy, and also as her twin sister, Clytemnestra. It turns out a lot of people have a lot of opinions about what fidelity to an ancient text should mean. There's a long tradition here, very long in fact. Arguing about Homer is almost as old as the Homeric texts themselves. The ancient poet Sappho participated in some early Odyssean discourse about 2,600 years ago, in a poem about how beauty is a matter of taste, she wrote that while there are those who would argue that a regiment of cavalry or infantry or an armada is the most beautiful thing, she knows it's whatever you love the most. Her proof? Helen, who left her wealthy husband Menelaus for the much more attractive Paris, thereby launching the Trojan War, and setting Odysseus on his course. The Iliad spends hundreds of lines cataloging ships, celebrating the large battle formations of war, and Sappho sweeps it aside to elevate the woman It was so often reduced to a ship launching face. And the author here has a little reference to a famous play by Christopher Marlowe, Dr. Faustus. This is me, Lou, interjecting now. It has that famous line, all lines, was this the face that launched 1,000 ships and burnt the topless towers of Ilium? This is when Faustus sees what he thinks is Helen of Troy. Back to the article, the ancient philosopher Plato also dabbled in hot takes on Homeric works, a culture that was alive and well in Socrates' Athens, in Ion. In that dialogue, a professional performer of the Homeric epics, known as a rhapsode, claims that nobody has or ever has had as many or as good ideas about Homer as him. Give this man a podcast. Socrates isn't convinced and asks a series of careful questions that undermine the entire premise of the rhapsode's argument. In the Hellenistic period, scholars built entire careers arguing about fine points of Homeric work, a word choice, and bracketing of lines of text they believed were later additions. Hundreds of years later, in the 2nd century BCE, or as we like to call it, BC, the rhetorician Lucian sent up the scholarly tradition in his True History, one of the earliest works of science fiction. After a trip to the moon, where the narrator witnesses a war between two alien armies, he travels to the afterlife to interview Homer. He asks him who of all the people screaming opinions about his work actually gets it right. Lucian's Homer responds by essentially saying, almost all of them. He wrote every single line, he tells Lucian, even the ones Hellenistic scholars suspected were inauthentic. Lucian was making fun of the academics, probably, we think. But the Homeric discourse machine never stopped churning. And to give some other examples, but I'll have to skip over those for lack of time. This is Lou speaking now. I have never read the Odyssey or the Iliad, but I think over the next few months I'm going to give it a try. They are among the most famous texts in the world, of course. Whether a man by the name of Homer actually wrote them is one of those things that has never been decided. Sadly, a lot of the Greek epic poetry has been lost to history and is known only in fragments on quotations or references from other later works. Okay, I'll just jump down a little bit. Today, scholars argue over all kinds of interpretations of the text, but so do civilians. Some of the biggest fights have revolved around translation. It was less than 10 years ago that Emily Wilson's rendering of the Odyssey made waves because she chose the word complicated to describe the epic's titular character. That would be Odysseus. All right, let's see now. The author concludes, anytime I read someone online being uptight and prescriptive about the Odyssey, I think, was this person has no idea just how bizarre the entire genre of ancient epic really was. There's no doubt that the ancient world was more diverse, more colorful, and just weirder than we could possibly imagine. That's actually my favorite part about studying this material. While normal, it seems completely fresh, modern, and relevant, as it touches on internal themes. What does it mean to come home? What does a good marriage, or what makes a good marriage? What does growing up without a father shape a young man's life? The next moment, it veers into the strange. Odysseus, naked on a beach, beseeching a virginal princess for clothes, or Helen, casually drugging her household guests to improve the vibe at a party. There's a small library of lost epic texts that people in antiquity also thought of as being Homeric. These stories are stranger still. And I could stop there for lack of time, but it's a good article from the Wall Street Journal on July 16th. It's fine to fight about the Odyssey. Ancient people did, too. All right, well, you cannot watch TV or listen to radio without hearing about lettuce and vegetables and the ill effects that they have been having. It has affected me. I have gained a few pounds with my eating habits since Elizabeth's death. One of the bad things about being a single guy is you have a tendency to eat whatever you feel like. But because that is a tendency to pack on the pounds. So just when I thought, okay, I really need to go on a diet, eat more vegetables, this came up. Is the Wall Street Journal, parasitic outbreak puts big letters in PR crisis mode. This is by Amir McGee and Heather Haddon. Now, I'm going to go through quickly three or four articles that constantly update. It's pretty confusing, as many of you have already seen. This one was back on July 16th, which would be 5 days ago as I'm taping this on the 21st. The cyclospora outbreak has consumers across the country holding the lettuce, and the U.S. lettuce industry fears it will take a hit, whether or not its leafy greens are truly to blame. That Max Teplitsky, chief science officer at the International Fresh Produce Association, quote, being prosecuted in the court of Reddit and social media is just devastating to the industry without any evidence. And at that time, the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, was checking out the possibilities for the cause of this explosive, that's their word, explosive outbreak. Well, there's some good things on that, but in the interest of time, we get several more. So I'm just going to give you the highlights of several of them. Now, July 17th, that would have been, as I record this, 4 days ago, from the CDC.gov, the previous one was from the Wall Street Journal. This is from the CDC.gov, preventing cyclosporia. Let me get this right now. Cyclosporiasis. Again, July 17th. There are key points. No one knows. Well, no one fully knows how cyclospora gets into food and water. People can prevent cyclosporiasis by not contaminating food or water that may be contaminated. And people can follow safe food handling practices to avoid contamination. All right, prevention tips. I'll just jump down to read those. Wash. Wash hands with soap and water before and after handling or preparing raw fruits and vegetables. Prepare. Wash all fruits and vegetables thoroughly under running water before eating, cutting, or cooking. It's important to thoroughly wash produce, even if it is labeled as pre-washed. I'll interject. I was buying some of those plastic packs that say right on them, no need to wash. But I think I'll bypass those for at least a few weeks. Excuse me. The article goes on to say, firm fruits and vegetables, such as melons and cucumbers, with a clean produce brush. Cut away any damage to bruised areas on fruits and vegetables before preparing and eating. Now, here's an important one for me. Cooking can kill the parasite. Since washing alone cannot guarantee the parasite's removal, cook produce to a temperature of at least 158 degrees Fahrenheit, which is 78 degrees Celsius, and store. Refrigerate cut, peeled, or cooked fruits and vegetables as soon as possible, definitely within 2 hours. That was from the CDC.gov on July 17th. What's the newest? Well, now we move up to July 19th, which would have been Sunday, I believe. From Zero Hedge, the headline reads, Taylor Farms announces recall of lettuce to 27 states over cyclospora risk. All right, so here they're getting down to the nitty-gritty. Claiming they knew what it was, although they had to backtrack, as we'll see. This was originally authored by Troy Myers via the Epoch Times. And I never know how to say that. Epoch Times, Epoch Times, I'm not sure. U.S. lettuce supplier Taylor Farms expanded on July 17th its voluntary recall of iceberg lettuce from central Mexico due to concerns over its link to a cyclospora Products that were possibly contaminated with the diarrhea-causing parasite were sent to 27 states, according to the company. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said July 18th, the outbreak was linked to iceberg lettuce across 5 states, and more than 1,000 people in the U.S. have been sickened by it. And a little thing from Taylor Farms says in a statement, consumers who have purchased the recalled iceberg lettuce should discard it immediately and not consume. Full refunds are also available at the location of purchase. Now, this is me speaking. A little confusing there. I guess if you take it back, you're supposed to be able to get a refund. And it lists all the states that were affected, potentially contaminated, to use their words, by the lettuce. They include my home state of Maryland and a number of others. And let's see now. Well, that's enough for that one. Now, this is superseded by one on July 20th. As I record this, that's just yesterday. FDA says Taylor Farms cyclospora lettuce test was a false positive by Landon Meehl, Fox Business. Published July 20th, the FDA and CDC are investigating Taco Bell's lettuce supplier as consumers in 4 states are urged to avoid shredded lettuce. The Food and Drug Administration said Sunday that a Taylor Farms lettuce sample initially reported as positive for cyclospora should be considered a false positive following an additional laboratory review. And the FDA said, quote, due to the complexity and detection of cyclospora, FDA lab experts reviewed the sample results and have concluded that the finding does not represent true amplification and should be considered a false positive. The FDA said no product samples had produced a confirmed positive result for cyclospora as of Sunday. And Taylor Fresh Foods said the FDA informed the company that the initial result was incorrect. And to be clear, this is also the company's statement. To be clear, at this moment, FDA has not identified a single positive product test result for cyclospora. And there's more to that. Basically, most of it just says the same thing over again. That, again, was Fox News, July 20th. And a little later, actually just about the same time in July 20th, the Wall Street Journal reported this. FDA walks back finding the cyclospora parasite as outbreak probe continues. This is by Bodaya Tweh, T-W-E-H, July 20th. Taylor Farms said the Food and Drug Administration has apologized after the agency walked back an earlier statement that the parasite linked to an outbreak affecting thousands of people had been detected on a sample of its lettuce. Now, the complication there is that I believe I read today or heard today that the FDA is not letting Taylor Farms off the hook. They're saying it still could well be Taylor Farms is responsible for this contaminated lettuce. So all I can say is stay tuned to the news and get the latest headlines. I checked before the program came on the air. Again, I'm recording this on Tuesday. I checked before the program came on the air for the recording, and I didn't see anything new about it. So, I think just try to stay up to date and get the latest news. I had one other article from the Wall Street Journal entitled, What to Know About the Cyclosporiasis Outbreak and How to Stay Safe. Let's see if there's anything there that is really different or additional. They talk about a little bit about how you can catch it. And it does say that it often takes quite a while for the symptoms to show up. Cyclospora can cause weeks of relapsing diarrhea where someone feels sick, feels better, and then gets sick again. It lasts much longer than a stomach bug, where you're sick for a day and you bounce back. And it lasts much longer than, for example, norovirus, another thing that can cause outbreaks. And they talk about what we've already said, how to avoid it, washing things, cooking food well, and so on. Let's see now. If you're worried, doctors say to buy local produce because there are no documented U.S. outbreaks linked to local farms. Imported foods with complex food chains pose more of a risk. Well, you can buy a lot of local foods near my home here. We're out in the country. This time of year, they have a lot of good locally grown foods. So maybe I'll do that too. But you have to be careful that they are locally grown and not just, you know, bought at some grocery store and then resold. So we'll have to see what develops on that note. Looks like we got time for one more article about the fires that have been causing a lot of smoke here in the USA. We had a bunch of it late last weekend. Then we had a cold front that swept it up. But now I see that a cold front is approaching Maryland. Probably going to get some thunder showers tonight. That'll cool it off. That's good. It may give drier air, less humidity. That's good. But it also may bring the smoke back from Canada. That's bad. Now, it's not just here that we're having the smoke. Here's an article that appeared in Fox News by Simon Constable, July 19th. Europe's fires reveal a deadly mix of rugged heat, human error, arson, and land management. And I'll again have to kind of condense this a little bit. And it says, since the beginning of the month, France and Spain have been hit by massive wildfires. Some of them looked like a scene from Armageddon. The infernos destroyed buildings and forests alike, where the epic heat wave in Europe has hit record levels in many parts of the block. And the heat has already led to thousands of deaths. However, the fires are not just due to the record heat. Notably, last week, the famous Fontainebleau forest near Paris was set alight, destroying 2,000 hectares, or 4,942 acres, of woodland. Now, let me interject there. It doesn't say, was it set alight by natural lightning or something like that, or was it arson? It doesn't really say. The latest data from France's Ministry of Agriculture says 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by people. Many times it's campfires, unextinguished cigarettes, or similar negligence. That was exacerbated by this extreme heat this year in France and Spain, where in many cases turned scrubland and grassland into a tinderbox. It's also true that both countries have regulations that prohibit clearing of certain protected lands, according to information from each country. And here we have a quote. Policies of nature restoration and building have made it hard, in some cases, to clear the brush that piles up. That was from Danielle Lacall, chief economist at a Madrid-based investment company, Tresis, as she told to Fox News. It was a good article. Let me see if there are some other main points to summarize. The causes of fires in the U.S. are quite similar to those in France. 85% of fires in the U.S. are caused by people. However, the total wildfire burns in the U.S. from lightning-caused fires tends to burn more acreage because they often strike in remote, hard-to-reach areas. France's Interior Minister, Laurent Nunez, said experts found 10 points around a little more than half a mile radius that we use for ignition, according to a report by France Insider. He also found that pattern suggests a voluntary origin. In other words, I would interpret that to mean arson, according to that Interior Minister of France. France reported that dozens of people have been arrested across the nation for either accidentally or deliberately starting fires. On a visit to the Fontainebleau forest last week, French President Emmanuel Macron said the country, quote, has never faced so many outbreaks of fire across the country since the end of World War II. And he reiterated here, as in elsewhere in France, there will be zero tolerance for arsonists. Because it is, of course, our national territory that is under attack every time a fire breaks out. All right, well, that's an interesting article. It has a good deal more to it. It talks about Spain, which has been dealing with three separate wildfires, one of which has been stopped. One fire in the Spanish Andalusia region killed at least 13 people. And Spain has vast areas of unused land, with most of the population living in cities. Some unused areas have not been cleaned up, Mr. Lacal told Fox News Digital. Because they have uncleared scrubland, there is a bigger likelihood of a disastrous fire. And here's some other statistics. So that was from Fox News, and the headline read, Europe's fires reveal deadly mix of record heat, human error, arson, and land management. July 19th, 2026. And one I'll hold for next week was from Zero Hedge, talking about solid-state batteries. And I need to read that a little bit more myself, but our time is up. Thank you for listening to The Divided Kingdom. Once again, you can write to me, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland. And the zip code is 21609. And check out, to find out all the ways you can listen to the program, check out my website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. So thanks for listening, and tune in again next week. Good night.